You're listening to Asking for a Friend with Westminster Chapel, a podcast where we invite honest conversations around culture, church, faith, and life. Now, here are our hosts, Ryan Falls and Matt Conrad.
All right, it's episode 17 of Asking for a Friend. Sorry.
Love you bringing the enthusiasm already.
I'm excited today. Sorry. We're here, and we have another question. We've had, I think, a couple of questions around this general issue. And the question today in episode 17 is, does the Bible justify the oppression of women?
No. Wait. No. Sorry. I was saying no to being ready to talk. I have a story. As a woman for 25 years, I've experienced much oppression. But the worst was when I went to college at UW. I learned that the reason women don't get pockets in their pants is so we have to buy purses. And I remember, like, that really stuck with me and made me mad.
It's good that at a progressive university, right on the cutting edge, that's what you learned in business school on the first day.
Yeah, like, was that on the final or anything?
No,
like,
you had to be able to talk about it. It was like part of a video. It actually was on the final.
That's what I remember about college, is that everybody wanted to ask the question. They'd always raise, there's that one kid. Is this going to be in the final?
What college did you go to in 1960?
60. I wasn't born in 1960.
All right, so we're going to jump into this topic, it's really important, and we could, with every episode, with every question, we could give a ton of disclaimers, but I think one of the ones that we need to say today is, we're talking about gender. We're going to talk about this in just a second. From a biblical point of view, this is a really, just generally speaking, it's hard to have conversations about these things in 2021. Because there is such a massive cultural conversation going on around gender. And I think there's a lot of confusion out there, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Very much so.
Yes.
Beth Moore just left the South Baptist. That's new. That's like new news.
That's new news.
That's new news. As of right now.
As of right
it's
now.
Happening.
Breaking news. So we're going to start with the story. And I think, you know, we have all of these cultural conversations that we could have and that we need to have about it, but we start always with scripture and we look at the creation account, right? And on the sixth day of creation, God said, we've said this many times, we're going to continue to come back to this, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So God creates maleness and he creates femaleness, and they're equal, but here they're different. And then the story goes on to talk about the creation account in Genesis 2. It gets kind of up close and personal as to how it came about that God created Adam and how it came about that God created Eve. And it's a really important part of the narrative, but I think the bottom line is, when you look at creation, life as it ought to be, maleness and femaleness are both important. Neither one of them is elevated above the other. Now, there is some confusion in Genesis chapter 2 because God says there's no helper that's suitable for Adam among all the other animals and creatures he had made. And so he makes Eve to be a helper for Adam, a person to kind of journey through life with. And people think that that word helper is then speaking of weakness, it's speaking of subjugation, but it's not. The word helper is used all over scripture to refer to God himself. And I don't think God thinks of himself as weak. I don't think God ever thinks of himself as in a lower position in terms of his value or his status. And so there's nothing in Genesis 1 and 2 that should lead us to elevate one gender over another, either way, females over males or males over females. But then we get to Genesis 3.
Uh-oh.
What happens in Genesis 3, Kaylee?
Oh, something exciting.
Yeah.
Matt. Wait, can I guess?
You can guess.
Oh!
You know
oh,
this.
Oh, I know this.
Yeah, you know
Eve's
this.
Eve's walking around the garden, little snakes, like, want some fruit. And she's like, no, because God said, don't eat that. And the snake's like, it's okay. It's organic. It's from Whole Foods. Like, I checked. Like, don't you want this?
Is that what the Hebrew says? Is that what the Hebrew text said?
And then doesn't she eat it? And then she like gives it to Adam.
Yeah.
She gives it like a 5-star rating. And he's like, well, I can't not try that. And then God's like, come on.
Basically, that's what happens. That's it, right?
And then after that, in our story, as we talk about this question, these relationships are just broken with mm-hmm. one another. And right. And so then the story, then we see in the Bible, women being oppressed. It's not a good thing. And I think the important kind of point to make here is that when we see that, the Bible is reporting things as they are, right? It is a historical account, mm-hmm. but it's not reporting them as God wants them to be. So when we see women being oppressed in Scripture, God isn't like, yes, and I'm putting my stamp of approval on this. Men, pay attention. You need to just be abusive and unkind and unloving and uncaring. No, that's not. But it's easy for people to read the story of Scripture and look at it through a cultural lens and say, what is going on? Mm-hmm. But really, from Genesis 3 on, it's like the world's coming undone. And that's what the Bible's trying to teach us, is without God, your world comes undone.
Yeah, I think that's a great point to kind of think about and maybe camp on for a few minutes, just this idea of the brokenness that comes, you know, in Genesis 3 and sin that enters the world. And really, sin becomes the root of any struggle we have relationally with people. And then it gets carried out over time. And we see that still today when there's this brokenness of a relationship, especially between men and women, and this struggle to try to figure this out.
Yeah, well, and I think there's, like, we were talking about earlier, there's, like, Bible passages that you could pull out to support that men should, like, either be above women or, like, lead women exclusively, and it can't be the other way around, etc. And then there's verses that, like, really elevate women and show, like, how progressive the Bible is and, like, how progressive Jesus is for women and how, like, there's no other historical example of someone, like, uplifting women in the way Jesus did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you could take isolated passages mm-hmm. without looking at the whole in context, and you could make an argument for a lot of things.
Right.
I think to answer the question, the Bible does not justify the oppression of women. The Bible paints a picture of maleness and femaleness as it ought to be, which it takes both. God is not male. God is not female. But both genders reflect the image of God. So there's something in women and there's something in men, and there's something when they come together that reflects who God is in a very beautiful way. And we need both. And so then the Bible is really a story of, in redemption, reversing what we see in the curse of sin on people and the way that like just tears the world apart. Mm-hmm. So like, how do you understand that best? You look at Jesus, God in the flesh, God incarnate, and how he interacted with women in this case, you know, that's the question. So how did Jesus interact with women?
Well, I think we see that Jesus had a real unique approach to women. They were allowed into his inner circle, which the rabbis of his days, the other teachers, that was just not something that you saw, but he invited them to be part of his followers. They were allowed to listen to him teach. We have this incredible story where he interacts with this woman at the well in Samaria. Mm-hmm. The Jewish people didn't even associate with the Samaritans, and yet here is a Samaritan woman that Jesus starts a conversation with, that he shows compassion and care for. He knows her story. He knows it's filled with brokenness, and yet he's drawn to her, and he cares for her, and he shows her kindness and love and respect. And I think that's what we see all throughout his life, is that he elevates, he sees in women incredible value, he sees incredible potential, and he extends incredible love and care to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Aren't women the first people, too, that know he comes back? Is mm-hmm. it like his mom that's there?
I think it's
Mary Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I think that stuff's cool. I think it's cool when you're like, oh, like I thought that was kind of a cool journey as an adult woman to go back through the Bible and see all the times like Jesus makes a very intentional effort to like see and uplift women. And like the stoning story.
Yeah.
It's like a super sad, like scary one to think that that's like a normal part of like culture back then.
You're talking about the woman caught in adultery.
Yeah.
That one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like that's like super real. And like to think of the weight of that and to have someone step in and like not just challenge like other women, but to challenge men and say like, go for it if you're perfect then.
Yeah.
Like that's so cool.
Yeah. Jesus looks at them and he said, well, okay. And so she's caught in adultery. These people are trying to test Jesus. It's a great story. Mm-hmm. And, they bring her to Jesus and they're like, what are you going to do? And Jesus does what Jesus, he like starts drawing in the sand with his finger and they're probably like, what are you doing? And then he stands up and looks at these men who have all this power, all this authority. And this woman who's very, very vulnerable. And he says, if any of you don't struggle with the same sin, then you pick up the first stone. And one by one, they put their heads down and they walk away. And then he's there alone with her. And he said, well, who's here left? And she said, well, no one. No one's here to condemn me. And he says, well, then I don't condemn you either. But he doesn't do it without truth. He's like, so go and leave your life of sin. And I just love that picture of the way that Jesus speaks truth, but also really defies all of the cultural rules of his day to say, you may live this way, but this is what I really intended for people and how they should be treated. And it's just awesome. It's just awesome. So Matt, takeaways.
Takeaways. I think maybe I'll address these to some different audiences. I think first for men, I think it's easy to let our culture influence us. We can either even look at examples from scripture and be confused about what they're saying or the authority that they may give us. But we need to understand that women are created equal to us. They've been created in the image of God. We need to treat them with love and kindness and respect. And, you know, some of the most significant and influential people in my life are women, my wife, my daughter, my mom, my sisters. They're people that are so significant. And so we need to make sure that we do a good job. You know, the Bible stands counterculture in so many ways. And that was true in all these stories we've looked at. It should still be true today. Like the church, the people of followers of Jesus, we should be leading the way in terms of how we interact, whether male or female. And then I would just say to females, you know, if you've been mistreated, if someone's hurt you, if someone has used words from the Bible to try to talk down to you or put you in your place, you need to know that God loves you, that God sees you, that God delights in you, and not let that hold you back or hold you down.
Yeah, there is this thing called spiritual abuse. Yeah. And we need to talk about it a lot because it's happened in people's lives. People have taken the words of scripture, they've twisted them so that they could have power over somebody else. And that's not okay. It is not okay. But check this out. I have a little girl. I have a wife. Strong, strong ladies, okay? I'm talking lookout world. These women have strength and power in the way that they live and in who they are, and their voice has weight and authority in this world, and God's called them to humongous things. And what I want for my daughter more than anything else is I want her to understand that God made her female and that there is strength and power and calling and beauty in that. And it doesn't mean there aren't things that she can't do in this world as she's called to lead and to impact other people. But at the end of the day, her gender, my gender, all of our gender, if we understand what we're made for best, right? It's not about what we get to do, what we have. God wants to elevate us as image bearers and he wants us to thrive. But the end of our thriving is then his glory in the world. And so I think when we have this conversation, we always need to frame it up. It doesn't end centered around people. It ends centered around God. And when we do that, we really begin to understand what true contentment and, happiness is a strange word, but true contentment is all about, because it's a delighting in him and his purpose.
Awesome. Yeah.
So well said.
Well, we're going to go back to Genesis in our next episode and talk about more creation.
Yep, Matt's gonna solve the mystery of creation. No pressure, Matt. But we'll catch you.
It'll be interesting. You're not gonna want to miss this.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Always submit your questions, asking for a friend, AFF@westminster.org, or on our website. And we really appreciate you guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Asking for a Friend with Westminster Chapel. If you or your friend would like to share a question, email us at aff@westminster.org.